Okay, we're going to, at least for the immediate future, this is going to be kind of like our summary message or review message on the philosophy of the Christian home. And there are so many different truths that we need to be reminded of, but I want to just give a practical message tonight that helps us to think of some practical things about our home. Psalm 127, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. You know, tonight we're going to talk about some practical truths about the Christian home. There are so many other things, but tonight we're going to talk about things that need to be priorities in a Christian home, things that need to be a priority in a Christian home. And these are some practical things. We have six things I'd like to mention.
Oh, okay.
Six things, practical things that ought to be priorities in our home. And as we think about these things, they may be something that will the Lord will speak to us about tonight that we are reminded of. Number one, prayer. Prayer. Whatsoever ye ask in my name, Jesus said, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified. Now, we don't need to preach a whole sermon on prayer tonight, but the practical aspect of prayer is this. Is it certainly a token, an important token of teaching children if God is first? Is God first? What's the first thing we do? Do we pray? Do we complain? Do we pray? Do we worry? Do we pray and be without? Or do we pray and see God provide? The spiritual truth is that children need to see that God, the God of heaven, is a real living God, and that God answers prayer. A simple truth. The priority of prayer, we could ask that simple question is, when is the last time your family decided to have a prayer project? When is the last time your family saw an answer to prayer? When is the last time that the children really understood that God answers prayer? You know, sometimes our prayers are so general that God never really seems to answer. Sometimes prayer needs to be really specific. Specific prayer has two aspects. One, it takes faith to ask specifically. And specific prayer is also a great teaching tool, because there is a definite specific answer to prayer. Children need to see prayer being answered in the home. Now, we don't need to just apply these to the family, but we need to apply these to ourselves as well. And all you young people, you know, when you say, "I do," the world doesn't change. The world just continues on as the way it was. And so this is needs to be something in our life right now. Number two, the Word of God. Devotions. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We use that as a great passage of scripture about devotions. And that is what it's talking about. It's talking about teaching our children the Bible. A lot of people take this passage of scripture out of context, make it say something it doesn't. But Deuteronomy 6:6, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." What is the significance of having family devotions? Well, I'll tell you, one of the big significances of having family devotions is this. Unsaved people don't do it. Unsaved people don't do it. And if you are saved and you have, and you're saved and you have a family, and you don't do it, you're just doing like the unsaved people. You're having, in a practical sense, an unsaved home. You know, you think about people getting saved out of the inner city and out of the world. Man, they struggle with having devotions. Man, do they struggle with having family devotions. Their life is so full of the world. Boy, it's a struggle to have family devotions. Why? Because that's the way unsaved people live. God isn't a part of their life. You know, God needs to be made a part of our life. And devotions talk about the importance of truth. You know, we're people of truth. We're people that we need to know the truth. We need to obey the truth. What we do ought to be because of what the Bible says. Deuteronomy 4, I love that verse. It says, "Keep ye therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this is a great nation, is a wise and understanding people." You know, God was saying to Israel, you obey the Bible. Oh, you don't have to understand it. You don't have to know everything about it. Just obey what it says. And guess what? The people of the world will say, wow, how'd they know that was how to live? How'd they know that's how things were going to turn out? How do they know that that's the right thing to do? They'll say, this is certainly a wise and understanding people. Why? Because they obeyed the Bible. It ought to be the priority of the Word of God. You know, I guess, put it in a simple sense, young person, when you get a family, are you gonna have family devotions? You're gonna have family devotions? That's something that, you don't decide, later. You need to decide that now. That's something you should decide when you're a young person. That's what we're going to do. We're going to have family devotions. God commands it. It is a tremendous teaching truth. It tells the family that, you know what, we get our instructions from God. And as busy as life is, we have to put God in our lives. Now, I think most of us dads need to do a better job of teaching the Bible all the time. I think that there's probably a parallel. Dads, you probably don't, most dads who don't have devotions probably don't spend much time teaching the Bible either. Priority. You know, devotions, family devotions, personal devotions. Every child should realize that, boy, one thing we do in our family is have devotions. Not only family devotions, but personal devotions. I'm sure that one of the greatest spiritual memories of children is seeing their parents read the Bible on their own. Oh, you should see my wife. She has about a stack of books this big, you know, and notebooks about this tall, you know, not quite, but, you know, she got them all spread out in the coffee table in the living room, you know, and man, that's a big deal. Family, her devotions. It's a big part. Important part of life. And I'm sure all the kids, that's one thing that they'll always remember is this big spread out in the living room with my wife and her, you know, notebooks and her books and her Bible and all these notebooks that she has filled with notes that she'll never look at it again. But, devotions. That's what a Christian home is about. Devotions. You know, moms and dads shouldn't be the kind of people that scrimp on devotions. They shouldn't be the people that are getting hot dog devotions. This is an important part of the Christian family. Things ought to be priorities in a Christian home. Number three, soul winning. Soul winning. You know, it can't be Christian if it isn't focused on the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It isn't Christian if it isn't centered on the Great Commission. School. Whether it's homeschool or Christian school, if it isn't centered on the Great Commission, it's not Christian. Not Christian. That's the central message of the New Testament era. The Great Commission. And it needs to be a priority in our family. It needs to be a priority in our family. We need to be soul winners. We need to be soul winners. We need to be out taking out the gospel. You know, I think that, you just kind of know some people they're serious about soul winning. Well, you know what really isn't an option. Now, let me ask you, when is the last time that you went out soul winning? When's the last time you went out soul winning? Now, the fact is, probably, more young people could say, more percentage of young people can say that they've gone out soul winning compared to the adults. Well, when's the last time you went out soul winning? When's the last time you passed out a tract? When's the last time you talked to someone about the Lord Jesus Christ? We need to make that a priority of our home. And if it isn't, then we need to decide right now what we're going to do to make it a priority in our home. Whatever it takes, we're going to decide that we're going to do it. Whether that means mom dragging out all the little kids and going to the park and passing out tracts or whatever it is. It doesn't happen by accident. It happens on purpose. And you know, I'm just saying some very important spiritual truths that are just as plain as day, that these are essentials for our homes to be Christian and for our homes to be an atmosphere in which the Holy Spirit can do His work. Number four. We're going to say number four priority is the work of God. Now, sometimes it's easy to be involved in the work of God and not be soul winners. Now, the work of God is not a substitute for soul winning. You can be involved in the work of God. A lot of you folks are involved in the work of God. A lot of you folks do a lot of work for the Lord. A lot of you folks do a lot of work at Camp Joy, but that isn't the same as soul winning. Isn't a substitute. Isn't an excuse. Doesn't cover it. But we need to have the work of the Lord in our life. And we need to be involved in the work of the Lord. That's an important part. I think Mr. Raines, last time he preached on the family, he said, you need to be at work day. And then his point two was be at work day. Point five was be at work day. Point seven was be at work day. He was preaching on the family. And the work of the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's a priority of life. And it's a simple truth. I remember one lady, her husband would come home from work. There'd be work night. And she would make sure supper was ready when he came home from work. Why? So he'd go to work night. Well, that's a good team, isn't it? It's a team when the wife understands the importance of the man being able to serve the Lord. It's a great testimony for the children to be able to see that mom and dad understand that serving the Lord is important and you have to work together to make it happen. The work of God. We could say a lot more, but trying to just make this a summary. And you can ask Mrs. Smith about that. All right, number five. There are three titles to this. Holiness, separation, convictions. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Love not the world. You know, there's a lot of things that we could say about worldliness. But worldliness is getting your thinking and your lifestyle from the world. It's getting your music, it's getting your dress, it's getting your hairstyles, it's getting the way you live, it's getting it from the world. And worldliness quenches the Holy Spirit. Worldliness quenches the Holy Spirit. Chases away the Holy Spirit. I know that's not a theological good term, but it's in practical sense. Worldliness chases away the Holy Spirit. I read a book on Christian home, and it was quoting a German author. He said, fashion chases away the Holy Spirit. Boy, that wouldn't be too popular today. I wonder where the Holy Spirit went today. But, you know, separation. You know, you can't have a Christian home if you don't have separation. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. You know, maybe there's something more personal about it. And you know what that is? Hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. Worldliness is really the result of people who do not hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. But holiness is the opposite. It's people who hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. That's the big difference. You know, some people don't hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about an audible voice. I'm talking about the Spirit of God ministering to us through our heart and through the conscience. But you know, we call it convictions. Where do convictions come from? You know where the convictions come from? They don't come from me. They come from God. Now, God may use me because we're supposed to reprove and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Word reprove, there is convict. And the Bible is given that for doctrine, for reproof. That's the word conviction. And the Holy Spirit is the reprover, the convictor. But you know, there ought to be a real relationship with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit ought to be speaking to mom and dad. And mom and dad ought to know, hey, Holy Spirit told me not to do that. Holy Spirit used the Word of God and says, you know, that's not what he ought to do. That violates the Bible principle. You know, that's not godly. That feeds the flesh. No, we're not going to do that. And of course, young people need to have some convictions. But if you aren't in the habit of listening to the Holy Spirit, you won't have many convictions. You'll be chafing at the bit. If you have a godly parent, you'll be chafing at the bit because you want to get away from the rules and the regulations and you want to be free and live your own life. The problem is you don't know the voice of the Holy Spirit like you ought to. Doesn't take very long. I wonder why Christianity is such a mess today. You know, you only have to be a couple days old in the Lord for the Holy Spirit if you get saved to tell you, hey, rock music is bad. That didn't take very long. Didn't take long at all for the Holy Spirit to show somebody that. You know, Holy Spirit, I don't think it would take him very long to talk to people about modesty and those different things. You know, it doesn't really take long for the Holy Spirit. That's such a, Obvious thing. You know, people listen to the Holy Spirit. They wouldn't be going to movies. How long does it take for the Holy Spirit to say, man, you better not look at that? It doesn't take very long. Not long at all. There's got to be some conviction, some holiness in the Christian home. Number six, the Lord's Day. Apostle John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, Revelation 1:10. What day was that? That was Sunday. The Lord's Day. You know, what's the big deal about the Lord's Day? Well, you know what? Here's the big deal about the Lord's Day. Because the Lord's Day is all about putting God first. In the Old Testament, we read that every Jewish male had to go to Jerusalem three times a year. Passover, Pentecost, and Feast of Tabernacles. You know what I call that? Faith. Faith. They were farmers. You ever know a farmer that's got all his work done? They were farmers. God says, you go to Jerusalem. All these feasts were a week long. You know, by the time you get up and get ready, you know, and we have a we try to go on a vacation at, on our place. It takes about 3 weeks to get ready. And then you're gone for a week. It takes 3 weeks to try to catch up. And the week you're gone, you pray that no disaster takes place. Israel was an agricultural country, and they had to go to Jerusalem on a pilgrimage. That meant they lost a lot of money. They lost a lot of working hours. They lost a lot of time. It's all about faith. Have you noticed, as our society becomes more secular and as Christians become more secular, the Lord's Day becomes nothing? Just another day of the week. In fact, for the world, the Lord's Day is their number one day of pleasure. Our society, people are so, their lives are so full of pleasure. Boy, that church is gets in the way. Praise the Lord, Nathan just left a message that this week, one of the boys at the church, I think I'm getting this correctly, his team was going to play on Sunday. And he came to Nathan and says, what should I do? And Nathan said, well, you ought to seek first the kingdom of God, and you ought to pray about that. And the boy, whenever it was, since then, today, said, I quit my soccer team. You know how big soccer is in South Africa? That's one of the best paying jobs in the country. Said, I decided to trust God and quit soccer. Wow. You know, that's what the Lord's Day is. It's about faith. Now, really, it should be that, just for fun here, it should be that you have to work so hard in your family. And your kids are so tired after 6 days of physical work that they can't wait for Sunday so they can rest. But it is a picture of putting God first. It is a principle of faith. It is a principle of priority, that our spiritual needs are far more important than any other thing in our life. And when that begins to get confused, we're in trouble. And you know, I tell you what, I think there's a simple truth about McQuonigal Baptist Church. I think that for the most part, for most people, the Lord's Day is the Lord's Day. And you know, when the Lord's Day is the Lord's Day, you don't come to church looking at your watch. And I'm sorry, I preached long this morning. I didn't know I preached that long, but I saw my watch. I felt bad. I know you don't believe that. But you know, if you got things planned, I mean, if you're going to go to the store, or, you know, you're going to go to this game, or if you're going to go shopping, or, you know, you got things planned, you know, well, man, then the preaching's going to get in your way, isn't it? Just going to get in your way because you got all these things planned. Because the Lord's Day isn't the Lord's Day. You can't enjoy being in the house of God. And that's, of course, we're talking about a Christian home. We're talking about a Christian home. That's what we need, is a Christian home. I was unsaved. I grew up in an unsaved home. I remember mowing the lawn on Sunday morning. And the church was right across our street. And that's in the days when you had loud lawnmowers. You know, there ought to be a difference. We ought to be different than the heathen. The heathen, God is an interference with their life. The things of God get in the way. I got plans. But, you know, for the Christian, it's a matter of surrender. It's a matter of faith. It's a matter of priority. Who is going to be first? What's the most important thing? Well, there's a lot of things that give out that message, aren't there? I'm sure there's a lot of other things we could say, but making a Christian home, is important truth. You can be a Christian and not have a Christian home. You know that. You can be a Christian without having a Christian home. You can be a Christian and have all the thinking and the practices of the heathen. To be a Christian home, we have to take biblical thinking, biblical philosophies, biblical truths, and live them. Now, maybe some of you young people kind of bucking mom or dad. And maybe you have worldly thinking. You don't like some of the rules. You don't like some of the regulations. Well, maybe you might be a Christian, but you don't think like a Christian. You won't have a Christian home if you don't think like a Christian and apply Christian truths to life. There's some challenges for all of us, some of these things that need to be reapplied over and over. We need to recommit ourselves. We need to rearrange our life. We need to challenged in our spiritual walk. And sometimes we just kind of, you know, go through the weary round of life and things kind of get lost in the busyness of life. Any one of these things are important. All of them are essential. Are we really making it a habit in our life to show the reality to God, to our children, by prayer? Now, sometimes our life is so worldly, we don't really need to pray about anything. But when we really putting God first, there's a lot of things to pray about. And we need to learn to pray. And we need to pray as a family. And we need to pray for specific things as a family. And it needs to be a part of our life. And the poorer you are, probably the more that you get this blessing. When you don't have money to go buy a pair of shoes and you have to pray about it, you probably have a blessing. Because God provides. If you got so much money you can just go buy a pair of shoes, you probably don't have much need to pray. Prayer. Family devotions. Do you have family devotions? Sometimes our family devotions aren't what they ought to be. On the other hand, young person, when you grow up, you're going to have family devotions? Wonder what's going to happen. You have family devotions? You going to read the Bible together? What if you weren't in a place that they required you have family devotions in school? Would you still have them? That's a good question, isn't it? Man, if you have family devotions just because it's a rule of school, I'm glad you have them. You need to have them. But you need to go the next step. You need to meet with God and ask God if He wants you to have family devotions. And then do it because God wants you to do it. Soul winning. Maybe some of us need to decide that we're going to take our kids out with a soul winning. Pray about somewhere to go and just start going, knocking on doors. When's the last time you ever went soul winning? Is that something God tells us to do? You know, you ought to be like Greg, feel like you're naked if you don't have a gospel tract in your pocket. That's the way it ought to be. That should be something that is important, the work of the Lord. Boy, you never should miss a work night, not because we have work nights, but because and the work needs to be done. You need to be at work night. You know why? Because it's exciting to do the work of God. And number two, because, you know what? It shows us what our priority is. I realize you can't be there every time. But, I tell you what. It ought to be priority. I remember, I'm preaching it again, but I remember one time I was talking, Brother Joe and I were doing something here at church. And he's telling me about his childhood. And he says, you know, when I was growing up in the Quaker church, if the furnace went out, my dad went over and fixed it. Oh, just dawned on me. It dawned on me just then. I says, now I understand. Now I know why you got this put together in your life. Serving the Lord, putting God's work first. Because you learned it when you were growing up. And we could go on. What kind of convictions do we have? What about the Lord's Day? You know, every young person in this church is probably, not everyone, but most young people in this church are probably going to have a family. And that's going to be the real test of what kind of Christian you are. That's going to be the real test. And you know, most of you already have it in your mind what you're going to do when you grow up. You already got in your mind what you're going to do when you grow up. You already have in your mind what kind of home you're going to have. Well, if it's not going to be a Christian home, I really question the reality of your knowledge of Jesus Christ. You know, a Christian home is one of the greatest ways to spread the gospel and to spread the influence of Jesus Christ. Man, when I got saved, I was just so anxious to have a Christian home where the influence of God could be spread. I think I remember reading that secular book, Cheaper by the Dozen. And I thought, man, hey, that'd be great. Have a dozen kids. Man, you could really spread the gospel with that. We actually had more than we had because the Lord took some. But 12, man. Guy's going to have 12? Dozen. 6 sets of twins. Man. Well, that'd be exciting. Spread the gospel. Influence the world through your family. That's what God wants us to do. Influence the world through our family. Let's pray. Father, pray you'd help us, encourage us to put these principles in our lives. And now, Lord, these are things that we've talked about many, many, many times. But we would pray that tonight, your Holy Spirit, even in these moments, would work. That moms, that dads, Lord, even now, would yield themselves to you, allowing your Spirit to work, to show them, to bring them to decision. I pray, Lord, for young people. I pray you give them a vision for a Christian family. A real one that could influence the world for Christ, be an incubator for the things of God and for souls. So work in our hearts, help us even now, next few moments of silence, to think about what you would have us to do. while our heads are bowed, we've listened to the Holy Spirit and we say, yes, the Lord has specifically brought things to mind that need to be strengthened in our home, maybe personally need to be incorporated into your life. You've reviewed them before the Lord, and you are saying to the Lord, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. By your grace, with your help, these things are going to change in my home or in your life. And just by lifted hands, say, Pastor, pray with me. The Lord has helped me. And I've made that decision tonight before the Lord. Anyone here? Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. Others? All right. Others? Before the Lord? I've said yes. The Lord's brought specifically there. Maybe you're a young person. And the Lord is speaking to you. About what kind of person you're going to be, what kind of a parent you're going to be, what kind of a home you're going to have. Maybe you're bucking that home right now. That's because you aren't have a close relationship to the Lord. And the Lord is speaking to you tonight about those areas of your life that you're going to bring some changes into your life. So your home can be a Christian home. And just by an uplifted hand, say, Pastor, pray with me. The Lord spoke in my heart. There's some changes that I need to make that our home can be more of a Christian home as well. Anyone here tonight? Okay. All right, praise the Lord. Now, Lord, pray you bless the invitation. And pray that, Lord, the real work would be done in the days ahead. And that, Lord, that certainly we would say, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. That you would be building our families with the blessing, your blessing, and with the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.